Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry Messings. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Krobler.
Are you blessed today? Amen. Amen. So, saints, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 21 and verse 7. Matthew 21 and verse 7. I've entitled my message this morning, The Prophet Enters Jerusalem. Today is a great day in which we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. They call it Palm Sunday, where Jesus came. And in Matthew 21, 7, we read, And they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set Jesus on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the tree and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes of those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And so the multitude said, This is Jesus. I want to specifically focus your attention on two verses, verse 10 and 11 of Matthew 21. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And so the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. We bless you, wonderful Spirit of God, that you take your word, you reveal it to us. We thank you, your word is bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And a bread brings life to us. We bless you, we commend this service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at the triumphal entry of Jesus and you look at it overall, you realize that his triumphal entry was actually Jesus coming into confrontation with the religious system. He was coming there confronting the rulers of the city, those who were in authority. It was a challenge to Jerusalem. In fact, it was a throwing down of the gauntlet and saying, now choose for yourself who you will serve. Jesus enters and the religious leaders are confronted by him at this time. Will they serve religion? Will they continue in their system of religion? Or will they recognize the true Messiah? They enter, and as they enter, the amazing thing is the crowds, the multitude start saying, this is the prophet of Galilee. And you know, I used to think of that. I used to read that and think to myself, you know, these people say this is the prophet. Think to myself, you know, they're just ignorant. That's why they said this is the prophet. They just don't know better. They don't know it's the Son of God, so they say prophet. They don't know that it's the king. I thought they would have said it's the Messiah. It's the deliverer that has come. It's the Lord that has come. But they say it's the prophet. And I thought it's just ignorance, and the Lord's winking at the ignorance. But then I started realizing, when you look at it, that Jesus was receiving their praise as they were praising him as the prophet. When you look at that, he specifically receives glory and praise as a prophet, and he comes into Jerusalem, and when he does, he challenges the religious rulers who would not receive him for what he truly is. When he comes into Jerusalem, I notice that he goes down straight into the temple and he looks around. He inspects their whole religious system. He looks at their methods of worship. And then he leaves the city because it's already late to come back the next morning. The Bible says in Mark 11, now when they draw near Jerusalem to Bethpage, Mark 11 verse 11, Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And so when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It's very interesting where Jesus goes to. The Bible says he comes in and he comes from Bethpage. And then he withdraws to Bethpage. And I thought to myself, quite strange that they should name as it were a suburb of a region, not the city itself. Why would the scripture says he withdrew to Bethpage of Bethany? And when I look at Bethpage, when I look in the original Greek, I find that the word Bethpage actually means house of unripe figs. Jesus comes to Jerusalem and they're not ready for him. They are a house of unripe figs. It's very interesting that in the region of Bethpage, there's a certain cultivar of fig tree. There's a certain type of fig trees that nobody could eat of. These figs were called unripe figs because no matter how ripe they were never properly edible. And Jesus comes to this place. And he comes to Jerusalem at the hour of Jerusalem's visitation. And they're not ready. They're unripe figs. And he says, if only you had known the hour of your visitation, you would have received me. They were not ready for him. So the next morning, Jesus comes from this place of unripe figs. And he comes to Jerusalem. And suddenly I realize, just put into context, the whole sequence of things that were happening then. Because once again, he comes from that place and he walks past another fig tree. And as he comes to the fig tree, once again, there's a fig tree with leaves promising that it's got fruit. And he walks to that tree and he said, "You're not ready," and he rebukes it. Nobody will ever eat from you again. Listen, it was a prophetic sign to Jerusalem. Because he said, I'm coming to you and your house is going to be left desolate to you. Because you weren't ready. You didn't recognize the hour of your visitation. He came and he was confronting them. He looked at the tree. The tree looked ready, but it wasn't ready. It was a tree that had no fruit. And he deals with that tree. Jesus comes in that triumphal entry. And really what he was doing is he was coming to confront the religious system. He was coming to confront the principalities and powers. He was coming to address the rulers who were supposed to bring worship to God. That whole religious system. He was coming to deal with them. He was coming to claim his rightful place. And he gives them many signs. He reveals many things to them so they can recognize the hour of their visitation. And during this visit, Jesus also, if you look at, I went and I read the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all around this town. It's very interesting that all the parables that Jesus tells at this time are dealing with those who do not recognize him for who he truly is. Firstly, he gives in the parable of the vine dresser who planted his field and hired it out. And when he sends his servants to get the fruit from it, they kill the prophets. And then eventually he sends his own son. And they won't receive him either. And he said they will be judged. Then he talks to them about the chief cornerstone. The one that the builders have rejected. What's he saying to them? You're rejecting me and I am the chief cornerstone on which the whole house is built. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's addressing them. He's showing them who he really is. Listen, the triumphal entry is ripe with prophetic signs and revelation to the rulers. And when you look at it, there's five signs that I want to talk to you about this morning that reveal things to them. Firstly, there's the sign of the colt. Not cult, colt. A boy donkey. Which is Zechariah's prophecy. They recognize that he's coming in claiming Zechariah's prophecy for himself. Because Zechariah 9 verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey." as he's coming in and people are shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. They saying to him, no, you can't be the one Zechariah was speaking about. You can't be the one riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You can't be the one who is the king coming to us. You can't be the one who is just and having salvation. You can't be. Tell them to keep quiet. Jesus said, if they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. This is a revelation for you that I am the fulfillment. He was dealing with them. And it's amazing that he comes in and he comes in on two donkeys. You read that scripture. It says there was two donkeys. There was the mother, the donkey. And then there was the colt, which is the male donkey. The son of the donkey. And Jesus comes in. It's amazing. When you read that, the Bible says they took them, the two colts, the two donkeys, and they set their clothes on them. And then Jesus rides them, but he was actually riding the colt, the young donkey, the male donkey. He was riding on that. Why? So it can be obvious for them that he wasn't just coming in on a donkey. There was the donkey, which was the mother donkey, which was a full-grown donkey, the one that you would normally ride on. But he had that one, and he had the colt. So he can ride on the colt on purpose, so they can all know that he's coming to them riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Hallelujah. Obvious. This is him coming in. And right away, there's a reaction. Who does he think he is? Coming to us like that. We can't receive this. And it's interesting when he goes into the temple, the first thing they ask him is, who gave you this authority? By what authority are you doing these things? Because he is actually revealing something to them. I notice that he receives praise as the prophet from Galilee. Now, as I said, it's quite interesting. Why does he receive praise as the prophet from Galilee? Because he was coming to confront the whole Mosaic system. He was coming to confront the rulers of the temple, the scribes, the Pharisees, the whole system that is set up around Moses' law, around the prophet of old, which they uphold, which they keep with everything they have. But Jesus said of them, you sit on Moses' seat. They were sitting on that authority. Everything they had was built on that. And Jesus comes in, and he comes in, and they don't want to hear that he is the prophet, because they know the scripture that Moses said, the day will come when the Lord will raise for you a prophet like me. And when he comes, you must hear him. Hallelujah. So really, what's at stake? If they receive him as that prophet, is everything we have as nothing. We have to listen to him now. Can you see that? So he comes to them as the prophet from Galilee. Because Deuteronomy 18:15, they know this verse. Moses had said this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him shall you hear. In other words, that same Mosaic law that they were relying on required them to listen to him. Hallelujah. And he comes in and he enters triumphantly as the replacement. Hallelujah. As the one where the old is out and the new is in. Some of you are marching to get Zuma out and get the new, and I don't know who the new is. But listen, Jesus comes in and said, I'm here as the replacement. And he lets them praise him as the prophet, because there's a new prophet in town. He comes in as the authority that they have to listen to. And Acts, it's almost like Jesus saying to them, this is it. This is your last chance. If you don't now, your house will be left to you desolate. And because they didn't, in fact, the priesthood has no more temple to worship in today. They got no more offerings to give. They got nothing. It was left to them desolate. The veil was torn in two. The altar was split. Remember that. Hallelujah. He replaced it because you and I are now the temple of the living God. Amen. He comes into them and he says, because Acts 3:23 says, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. In other words, won't you recognize me? Your ministry is finished. It's over. Hallelujah. You're something new that has come. Hallelujah. And he comes there as the replacement. That's why Jesus came. That's why he allowed them to say it's the prophet. Because he wanted them to know the authority in which he is coming. Everybody say it's a brand new dispensation. Say it again. It's a brand new dispensation. He's coming in to deal with the old. Amen. He comes in. He looks at their systems of worship. Of having doves and goats and buying them in the temple and money exchange and all that things. He inspects all that. And he said, it's over with. He drives it out of the temple. Amen. He whips the money changers. He casts them all out. He says, no longer is this just a temple. And he comes and he establishes something. He said, from now on, this is my Father's house. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just your temple anymore. Now it's my Father's house. John 2:14. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, poured out the money changers' money, overturned the tables. Man, that's pandemonium. Listen, when God comes into your life to change things, it's pandemonium. Nothing's the old way anymore. Nothing's the old order anymore. Some of you are so worried about order. Come on now. Well, my Father did it this way. Out. It's gone. It's finished. Hallelujah. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. He deals with their system. Listen, God has finished with religious systems. Systems that just promise you things but delivers nothing. Systems where they come and all it does is cost them money and cause them to have incense and all kinds of things that it looks holy, but there's no answer from heaven. He comes and he deals with that whole system. And they say to him, what sign do you have that says you got the authority to do these things? Because they knew that he's busy getting rid of the old system. By what authority are you doing this? He said, destroy this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it up again. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what? The fifth point I want to show you. He establishes what the Father's house is. You thought coming to church is a religious thing. You thought going is just singing three hymns and four hers. You know, doing this, doing that. You thought it's all about that. You thought it's about doing your time. You know, by the way, some people come to church like it's a prison sentence. They do their time. Amen. I'll leave that with your prophetic insight and discernment. But Jesus comes in and he establishes for them what this new system is, what this new prophet is saying. He says to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's what it will be. Out with all your stuff. Amen. It's not a house of trade, not a house of merchandise. So many people came, Pastor, can I sell ties in the foyer? Can I sell samosas? Can I take advantage of the crowd that's coming? I've even got some trinkets. I've got some crosses I made. And some sheep. And some goats. And a moneylender's table. That I can bring this. It's not the place for God's house. This is a house of prayer. Hallelujah. You know, Matthew 21:13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. And once again, he confronts him and confirms, I am the Son of David. They don't want to receive that. They say, rebuke them. Don't say that. Jesus said, that's perfect praise. If you were perfect, you'd be saying that to me yourself. Son of David. Hallelujah. Recognize that I've come to replace the old Mosaic law. That I've come. Hallelujah. The same way as the Saul system didn't want an anointed David. The Mosaic system doesn't want the anointed one. Hallelujah. The second prophet, for he truly is. You see, that's why Jesus came as the second prophet, so they can realize the time of the first prophet is over. Somebody say amen. He confirms that. And you know what? If you look at that point five again, he says to them, he looked at them. Let's read it. Verse 13 of Matthew 21. Man, I shouted when I read this. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Verse 14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. He showed them that not only is my house a house of prayer, but it's a house of answered prayer. Up till now, you've come and it's been a religious system. But from today, when you come into the temple of the living God, hallelujah, the veil is torn from top to bottom. There's bold access for the saints into my presence. And when you come, it is answered prayer time. You're in the Holy of Holies. You're in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He reveals to them, my house, the new dispensation. It's not just prayer, but answered prayer. Hallelujah. The Bible says when you ask, you receive. When you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. This is a new dispensation. Hallelujah. I was walking, yesterday I was walking, you know, down the road, and I was walked with quite a few people. One person I walk with, and he tells me how much he loves Jerusalem. And how much he loves Israel. Every year he goes to Israel. And if he can, he'll go twice a year or three times a year. Because Israel's so wonderful. And Israel's this and Israel's that. You know, like some Christians, they think if you're a Jew and a Christian, you're a super Christian. Amen. You know, he's a Christian. But not only that, he's a Jewish Christian. Superman, you know, as you know, and they're praying for them because very shortly the new temple's going to be built. Oh, and when the Jews built that new temple, I said, my God, what's going to happen? Are you going to go back to the first prophet again? Are you going to go back to the outer court where you have to bring a sacrifice and bring a lamb because you deny the true lamb? Are you going to sit outside the veil when he has torn the veil and you have bold access into the throne room of grace? Are you going to look for another preacher to pray on your behalf when you can boldly say, my Father? Come on now, we must think about these things. You know what he said to me? He said, and you see these shoes of God. He says, I was there last year and I bought them. I bought them in Jerusalem. And they're holy shoes. They, you know, I walk with these shoes on this march. Almost fell down and said, oh, shoes. It's amazing How believers, Christians, born again of the Spirit of God, seated with Christ, in Christ, at the right hand of the Father, having an intercessor, still wants to have trinkets and stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I must have a picture with a purple heart. I must have this. I must say, listen, Jesus done away with all that. And he said, this is a new day where my people will pray. It's a house of prayer. It's a house of answered prayer. Where before they call, I will say, here I am. And before they cry, I will say, I am he. He is your God. Hallelujah. He is the true prophet from heaven. He's the one that's replaced all that. And he's made a new way for you and I. Thank God we're accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. When you give the slightest whisper, he hears. Amen. And when he hears, his promises are yea and amen. Jesus was revealing to them, this is the new way. It's a house of answered prayer. Let that be the revelation you receive today from the Lord. What Palm Sunday is really about. God has a new temple. A house of prayer. For all nations. Where prayers are answered. And the promises are yes and amen. Hallelujah. And he's your covenant God. Is a name given above every other name. That whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And today is here for you. Listen, there's no more distance. There's nothing. It's a new day. Everybody lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. I've entered your presence today. And as you're sitting here today, as a servant, as a son of God, as one that's been drawn into a house of prayer for all nations, it's a house of answered prayer. Just from your heart, I want you to start lifting your requests before the living God. Saying, Jesus, you're my high priest, ever living to make intercession. You're the one that said, ask anything in my name and it shall be done. I'm not looking for a religion. I'm not looking for somebody to pray on my behalf. But I'm asking you, he's the God of answered prayer today. Shebra, Sikera, Mana, Maya. Just ask him. Ask him today in faith, believing you receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shabra Sekerabaya. Hallelujah. That's a new dispensation you've given. I'm not standing outside. I'm in your very presence now, Jesus. And I ask you, and I believe I receive. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. Thank you, Lord, for answering. Thank you, Lord. Shabra tikera namasi kera maya. Some of you need to get rid of that old mindset of just praying and not expecting an answer. It's the God that hears and answers. The Bible says the moment he said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, he immediately started healing them. He immediately started delivering them. He immediately started answering their prayer. The old days are over. In the name of Jesus. Days of unanswered prayer is over. It's done away with. And it's a new day. It's a new dispensation for you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Now believe you receive. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to, by faith, just breathe in. Breathe in a fresh atmosphere. Breathe in the precious anointing of God touching your life. That's it. Now, just start saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a moment of answered prayer for each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus, I break every stronghold. I rebuke Every withholding devil, I break every shackle. I release you from unanswered prayer. I set you free from every tyrant and every oppression. Devils, in the name of Jesus, the blood is against you. Loose these. I proclaim the blood by which they are set free and delivered right now. And Lord, thank you now for the answer. Thank you for the answer. Thank you for the answer. Oh, there's an anointing right now. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive. Start thanking Him. Thanking Him. Thanking Him. I've entered a new day. I've entered a new moment. I've entered a new covenant of my God. In the name of Jesus, I release. Oh, Lord, thank you. I receive you. I release. I sense a full anointing flowing over this place. Your all-sufficiency, El Shaddai, the Lord that's more than enough. Not only what you're asking for, but the Lord says more than that. I release in your life today. In the mighty name of Jesus, be El Shaddai in this place. Thank you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shabra sekena rorobosi amaya. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, you can visit us on our Durban Christian Center Bluff or Wentworth Facebook page, or contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.